I need to reference it.
It is a little bit rehearsed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, November 2nd.
Shortly.
I'm going to show them Levy. Namin Amarav. Halfway down the page. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Okay. Kolam Lamed is Ben Vino Torah. Maila Lava Kasuv Kila Kibla Mer Sinai. Anyone who teaches their grandson Torah, the Torah considers it, the Pasuk considers it as if they were Makabal the Torah at Har Sinai. Okay? Pretty good. Shenemar. Udatum Lavanecha Lavanevanecha. That's the one, the end of one pasuk. And the pasuk says, "Rak is dvarim dalid tas. Rak yishomer lecha, shmor nafshcha meod. Okay, you should guard yourself. Pentishkach is dvarim shomer nechah. Thank you, shomer levech, kol yimechayecha. Lest you forget these things and turn them away from your heart. Vehudatam levenecha, levenevenecha. Rather, you should teach them to your, make them known to your son and your grandson. And then the next pasuk says, Yo, Mashiach matav neshom mikach b'choreiv." The day which you stood before Hashem in Chorev, and Moreshah Kali Hashem Hashem is right. One Yom Udil Yeros Yikol Hayam Hashem Chaim Al Adam. That's been Ami Alam Eidon. Okay, so there's a smichs in the pasuk between your daughter and your nechah that you should make it known to your sons and grandsons. To Yom Hashem Atav the day of Sinai. So what does it imply? It implies if you teach it to your grandsons, it's like you were there. I mean, simple pshat, it definitely has nothing to do with that. I mean, it's just saying, you shouldn't, you know, Dalav and Ebenecha, what? You should know that, the Yom, Hashem Atav and Hashem Yachav B'choreif, right? I mean, it's telling you what you should, but I guess maybe the point is, Yom Hashem Atav and Hashem Yachav B'choreif, you didn't stand there. Did you actually stand there before Hashem Yachav B'choreif? Oh, but if it's Dalav and Ebenecha, it's as if you were there, and there was the Yom Asher Matov Neshon Mekal B'chorev. You know what I mean? Because it's saying, you should make known to your sons and grandsons. Yom, which is for Adil Adoros, but what Yom Asher Matita, that you stood there. Oh, so it must be that. So anyone who gives it to his grandson, it's as if he stood there at Sinai. Right, that's the Liman, I believe. Okay. Any questions? Any questions here?
Is that at all like Sinai?
Okay, so there's the standard question of what's going on. How is that like? How does that have anything to do with the fact you teach us your grandson Torah? How does that have anything to do with the being a Sinai? Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, so more specifically, maybe the question would be, is why is it focusing on the grandfather here? I mean, the pasuk says, sounds like if you teach your son Torah, that's not like you're at Sinai. But if you teach your grandson Torah, now that's like you're at Sinai. I mean, what's the deal? Is there any difference in teaching a son, teaching a grandson? Right. I mean, I think maybe what Jake's getting at is that, what does it mean, Kila Kila at Sinai? Like, what does it mean? It says, if you received it at Sinai, and therefore what? Is that good? Is it good to be the guy who received it at Sinai? I mean, I guess it's a nice, it would be nice to see that whole spectacular event. You know, what's the maila of actually receiving the Torah? Like, are we any less receivers of Torah because we weren't at Sinai? I mean, it's true, we weren't there, but we have a proof of Torah Mesinai. We know Torah Mesinai, we know that it happened, and we have a recipient of the Torah which came from Sinai. So, what is it? What does it mean? It says, if you experienced it? I mean, it's hard to imagine that you could say, if you teach your grandson Torah, all of a sudden you relived an experience. Like, what does it mean? In what regard? What does it mean, Kilu Kibbul Mar Sinai? Yeah? And what is that a value? Is that a value? Where do we see it? Do we see praise people who are there at Sinai? I mean, what's the idea that it's Kila Kibbul Mar Sinai? What does that even mean? I just, you know what I mean? Like, wow, great. Now it's like I received a Sinai. Now what? What does that do? You know, what does that do for you? I asked the question though. I like that way. As it sounds like the difference between, if you had to come up with some difference between us and Sinai, the people who are at Sinai, it seems like their knowledge of Sinai of Torah is firsthand and our knowledge is secondhand. You could argue, who cares, but it does seem it's a different class of knowledge. I mean, it does seem to be, I don't know, whatever. That's a question if it makes a difference. But that is a difference. But that doesn't seem to be in any way possible to replicate through after it's first hand. I mean, your grandfather doesn't make it, you can't do a very good second hand source, doesn't make it first hand, you know? Doesn't seem like to be. If that's the difference, it just doesn't seem possible to ever replicate that unless you have another Sinai. So let's read for the Gemara. Rav Yechiya bar Abba, Ashkechel Rav Yishuv ben Levi. So this is Rav Yishuv ben Levi is the guy who said this original statement. So Rechiv Rabba found him the shadi disna areshei become mamti leili nukal bekanishta. So he found him that he was putting on Rashi sadin. So he did is he put basically like a cloth, like a handkerchief or whatever on his head. He didn't really do the full wrap, you know, which was, he didn't want to go out with his, without any head or anything on his head. But they used to really have the do a full thing, right? A full kisoy, a full gatifa. But he didn't do that. He basically just put this thing on his head and ran out to bring his kid to the Beis Knesses. To school, to yeshiva, to whatever, to where they taught him. Amar Leih, Michael, hi. Well, hold on. What are you doing? Why are you going? You're running out without like Rashi says. Michael, Shemi, how to let this blow tifa again? Why are you running out so fast to go out without putting on a proper head covering? Like it looks like he's running out without a halfway dressed. You know, must be what he answers Rashi for. So he says, oh, Amar Leih, mi zutar, my dasiv, odatol v'necha, v'samach la'yom shemata v'neshagalachore. Is it small to you? Is this a small issue to you? Of the fact that it says that this smichas parsha teaches you that if you teach your grandson Torah, it's as if you're mekabelet at Sinai? It's a big thing to rush for. It's a very big thing to rush for. Is it that you're degrading the idea of bringing your kid to school? This is very important. Right? So mikan ve'eleich, rechir barav lo tomum sa'ad mekali yinuka mosmeh. So from this story onwards, Rav Chiya Bar Abba took Rav Yishuv Ben Levi's advice, and he wouldn't eat meat. He wouldn't eat. They used to have basar ma b'chol. You can let them bugger. They'd have a little bit of meat with on the coals, like a little barbecue. You know, they used to have in the mornings for in the breakfast. I guess. So he wouldn't do this thing until he'd basically learn with his kid and go over it again. Do Rashi says. Go over the pasuk of yesterday and do a new pasuk for today. So he wouldn't eat anything or eat this meat thing until he would make sure to do this with the kid. So he took his advice seemingly and took it seriously, the idea of starting off first thing to make sure you don't do anything else before you get this teaching your kid or bring him to Beis Madrash. And then it says Rababar Ravuna lo tomum sa'ad demaisi lo gabe medrasha. Same type of thing. He didn't bring him in, but he didn't do it until he brought his kid to the base medrash. Okay? See, so right, it's definitely related. I mean, there's something to follow. But what's the big question here?
They are avoiding other things.
So one question is, what's pshat? Why are they rushing so much? Why are they avoiding the other things? But there's a problem. There's a problem in these stories. What's the problem?
Didn't it say his son?
Yeah, the problem is these are his sons.
Is it
his son? It's his son. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the bride. So his son.
What?
That's what I meant. I mean, I think simple pshat in the story, although it says Yanuka. Yanuka means a child. So the Archko wants to read it means a grandchild. But I think simple pshat in the story means child, means a son. I mean, who's bringing his kid to school every day? What, the grandfather who used to go to the kid's house to pick him up and bring, he ran out of his house without getting dressed fully because to... So it sounds like he got dressed fully. So did he live in the guy's house, or he went to his grandson's house? Where did they live? I mean, you say all these guys live next door to them. I mean, simple pshat means it's talking about the father who brings him to a school where he learns with him in the morning, and he made sure not to do anything before he did it, before he brought him to school, before he learned with him. All right, you'll say, why is it the father, the son, and not the grandson? That's my question. But I don't think because of that question you necessarily change the pshat or, you know, change the pshat. I mean, if you can't answer the question, maybe you'll say, well, maybe it means grandson. I don't know. But I mean, so I think a simple pshat is to say it means a son. So unless it's impossible to say. I mean, the smilas of parshas is in the on the contrary, it was v'necho v'nei v'necho. It wasn't all, I mean, could definitely argue it was both. I mean, I have the more said v'ven v'necho, so it's a problem. I understand it's a problem, but that's exactly what I'm asking. I'm asking it's a problem. Are you ready? It says like this, I'm reading the Meiri. Ulaolom te mitzvah zu chaviv alo. The mitzvah of teaching your son and your grandson should be chaviv to you. La beloved to you, achi yolech ez beno, hu be'atma v'beis ha-sefer. That you should bring your son, you yourself, to the school. V'yira gilehu b'kriyaso. You should be accustom him in the kriya. V'kvar ha-yidu al Rishu ben Levi, d'shadi disna reisho, mam tila yinukul b'knishta, kolomar. There it says, shehu me'niyach sadin al rosho sadin, Gam shein roi lo latifas ha-rosh, ela shaya osa kein derech nachas, hi rosh, ala yifli ha-rosh, v'lohim tim ha-chisatif, v'sushim mirom mihiros. V'sholehu My Kalhai, why do you do so much? Kalomash Atoch Benachat Zashal Sai, why didn't you put on this good thing? Fine, it just keeps going. So, but he said, though, clearly, I mean, at least in the way he said it, is, it's been up. He says, it's a mitzvah zu chavivola that you should bring your son yourself to the base of Medrash, the base of Sefer, and of course, this is a story. That's a proof. The story is the proof. So it sounds like he's saying your son. I mean, it'd certainly be a twist. That, I mean, that's what he's saying. Pretty clear. So then the question is, why is it only your son? It said before, it was your grandson. Okay. So let's tell you this. That the Sinai, the event of Sinai, like you see, for instance, in these psukim, it's saying is you should be very careful lest you forget the things which you saw with your eyes, and you turn from your hearts all your days, and you should tell your sons and your grandsons about the day that you stood before Hashem and Chorev, where God said, and all deal, right? And in order that you'll teach your kids to fear me. That you'll learn to fear me, and you'll teach your kids. Okay, and it tells you the whole story. So it seems as like the event of Sinai was created. It was like an overpowering event, and it was designed in a way that it would move the people, impress the people in a way. This is serious stuff, and this is something which we have to pass on and teach to our sons and our grandsons and to all the future generations. Like the event was like an overpowering event, whose design was to move the people to always talk about this event and pass it down and make this an eternal part of their identity. Of course, philosophically, it should be that way, but the event was designed in order to move people in that kind of way. I mean, it's true, like, there are certain events that, like, if you witness a certain event, it just becomes part of the family history, the legacy of the family, you know what I mean? Like, certain thing is so powerful an event that things move you in a way that you just pass it down and down and down and down and down. It's just part of the natural the identity of the family. It's part of the memory, the collective memory of every generation. And so the event was designed. That's what it's saying, is that you shouldn't be remove it from your hearts, right? You shouldn't turn away from it, and you shouldn't remove from your hearts the memory of this day which you stood before God and this whole thing, and there's a choshech and then the rafel and God said and this, the whole thing. So the thing is that the event was designed that way, and that's all that you should, passing it down. So that was the way the event was designed. Now the thing is like this, is that insofar as a person is, so basically a person who is at the event itself would be so moved to tell this event over to his kids and his grandkids and all, right? That's the way the event was designed. Now, let's say a person nowadays is equally moved, okay? He studies the events, and he realizes the nature of the events, and he's, which he has received, and he is moved to pass those, in the same type of way, to pass those down to the future generations. And he involves himself in that type of a thing, okay? So, in that person, so to speak, would be realizing the objective of Sinai. You know what I mean? As the person who, since Sinai was designed as an event which would move people to pass it down to future generations, if you, even though your generation is later, but if your study of Sinai leads you and your study of the Torah moves you to pass that down to future generations and makes to involve that in part of the legacy of the family and of your people, then you are. In you is being realized the objective of Sinai. It's like Sinai functions for you. It's as if you were at Sinai, means that the Sinai was designed in a way to move people to do that, and you are really fulfilling that objective. It's as if you did it, because you're also being moved in the same way. The way Sinai was designed to move a person into the significance of this event and to pass it down, you have the sense of the significance of the event, and you're passing it down. But let me develop a little bit more. Then there's the thing. What's the thing with the grandson? I'll bring out the grandson. The thing with the grandson is like this: is that that a father tells his kid everything. And if our father teaches him lessons, teaches him how to hold a baseball bat, teaches him how to, you know, teaches him how to pour the milk in a cereal, teaches him how to the Torah, teaches him this, teaches him that. I mean, a father and a son live together, and the father raises his son, and he basically shares with him every his whole life. I mean, that's just the kind of relationship. It's an intimate, familiar relationship. And he tells him everything. So the fact that he tells him Torah doesn't indicate that this is, like, part of the family heritage. It doesn't indicate this is, like, this is the real stuff. This is what has to be part of our identity and has to be always remembered forever and ever and ever. This is, he tells him about stupid things also. It's just the nature of the thing. But, like, the grandfather and a son isn't that kind of a relationship. Like, the grandfather passes on his bits of wisdom that he wants to go to the future. You know what I mean? It's not the same personal close. They're always there. They just talk about anything. It's like a grandfather, like, so let's sit, like, sit me down, like, sits you down on his lap and tells you the story of the family, you know, back in the day and this history and this, you know what I mean? So the idea of when the grandfather, grandfather doesn't have as much time with the kid as the father has. So what he chooses to tell him are the things that he really wants to be retained for the future. He wants to pass it to the future. That's what a grandfather is telling his son. His grandson. He's giving him those in the time that he has with him, he gives him those things which he thinks are important to be retained and to be passed to the future generations. So the thing is that if a person teaches his grandson Torah, it means that he realizes and he relates to Torah as something which is of utmost significance and must be retained for the future, for future generations. Well, in that person is fulfilling the objective of the event of Sinai. And the people who are there at Sinai were there for the purpose, so to speak, of moving them to impress them by these events and to tell of them in order for people to realize the significance of these events and the significance of Sinai. So it's saying, and Sinai is the Torah. So it's saying a person who does that it's as if he was at Sinai. Of course, it doesn't mean he was at Sinai, but it means he is realizing the objective of Sinai. A person who does that. And so far as he is moved by the ideas and the events and the ideas of Sinai and of Torah to involve himself in what the Torah is saying. So then he's seen as being realized through him. And it's as if Yom HaShemadosh V'nei HaShemadosh HaKorov, it's as if he was actually there, because what's the difference? The purpose of Sinai was to have to move the people in that kind of way, or one of the purposes of Sinai was to move people in that kind of way, and he's reflecting that he really has been moved in that kind of way, and it's made its impact. You know what I mean? So this is part of the familiar. Maybe that's the idea of why the mitzvah doesn't go to his father's son, but it's grandfather, so grandson, because this song is part of the legacy of the Jewish people, and it's part of, it has to be passed to the future. It's not just a matter of course, father-son is the closest relationship, and the father has the most opportunity to teach the kid. But it's not just because, like, a father-son, it's the future, and it must go beyond just the father-son, you know. Now, the question is like this, so, could this idea be manifested in the father? You know, the thing is, like, it's the grandfather reflects it, because the father and son, the father always doing all kinds of things with the son. So by him teaching, the thing doesn't reflect, this is the most important thing that has to be passed, this has to be the future. But the grandfather reflects that. But could the father have that idea in some way? How could it be that by teaching the father teaching the son, it's not going to just fall into the normal thing, the father teaches the son everything. Exactly. See, if the father does it in a way where he shows this is the most important thing that exists, more important than covering my head and wrapping my, you know, whatever, putting on the turban, more important than eating my little breakfast thing, this is the very first thing in the morning that I'm going to do, is transmit this knowledge to you. It impacts the kid and it shows him, this is it. This is the thing. My father tells me a lot of things, does a lot of things, but this is the very first thing he does. It reflects that this must be, it's very important for him to impart this, that I have this knowledge, and therefore it could impress him in the same way as if the grandfather would do it. Because it's true, a father and son have a lot of time together, but they don't have the first thing in the morning together. The rushed first thing before he does anything else, it makes the impression. The point is that by doing it, you're moved, you have to be moved to teach it in a way which reflects the significance of it and how essential this idea is in your life. And that could be done to the father also in this manner. That's what he says. It means that he's in such a rush. But without the rush, it wouldn't reflect that idea. It wouldn't reflect it without the rush. You had to be in a rush to do it. It's true, you could have done it later, but then basically you're just going to relegate it to anything else that you're going to teach the kid, you know? Then it doesn't have any special place. But specifically to do it in that way reflects that it's of utmost significance. The idea of Mesorah and of passing it down and ensuring that the kid will really be impressed by the significance of the thing is of utmost significance. It's before everything else. You know what I mean? Now, one question, I just had a side question, is, does this mean, let's say you're learning with your kid, does this mean that you have to basically learn, let's say you learn with your kid 3 hours every day. Does that mean that you have to learn for 3 hours before you eat breakfast? Doesn't sound that way, right? It sounds like you just got to do the action, and that's the first thing. It's a show to demonstrate you have to involve yourself in the limud. It doesn't seem like you have to really go all out. It's a demonstration of the significance of the thing. It doesn't mean you have to wait to eat the lunch until 3 hours later, breakfast until 3 hours later, or you know. But the question is then is that the Gemara says that I forgot who it was. I think Ravacha.
I'm not sure.
The Gemara has a story by Rav Chiya bar Abba. He wouldn't eat until he taught his kid. He went yesterday's pasuk and then he did a new pasuk. You know what I mean? He did chazara on yesterday and he did it on today. You know what I mean? So, why is that necessary? Why is it necessary to do both? I mean, just teach them a pasuk, either chaz yesterday's or just do today's. I mean, why do you have to involve? It sounds like this is first of all, it's interesting. It seems like this is the method of teaching. It's interesting. You could derive from it. That's apparently held as a good way to learn. The good way to learn is you start off by reviewing yesterday and then do today, you know? But why is that? It sounds like he's going all out. I mean, I don't know if it took hours, but why did he have to do both? I mean, if it's just a matter of doing an action of demonstrating this is the first thing, this is the most important thing, why did he have to have the full involvement in the thing, in the first thing in the morning, you know what I mean? Why is that important? I mean, so the Gemara says it. I mean, it could just say, before he learns with this kid, I mean, why is it saying, that he specifically, he did it yesterday, supposedly, and today, must be there's a point in saying that, you know what I mean?
Stick with it.
But maybe I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, but the idea, why do you do the real chazar of Yasser's pasuk and then do today's pasuk? I mean, in the contrary, I think this is why you don't like to do this, because it's more tedious to do yesterday's thing. You want to just get to the new ideas, they're more interesting, you know? But the idea of the chazar is because of retention, to retain what you learned. I mean, you don't do chazar, you don't retain it. So you go over yesterday's pasuk, even though it may be less intellectually stimulating, but the idea is that the limud of Torah is part of Mesorah, part of the limud of Torah is the fact that you to keep the knowledge of Torah in existence. And it's not just a matter of just an intellectual exercise of enjoying yourself. But the idea is Mesorah and the maintenance of Torah. And maintenance of Torah and a limud of Mesorah involves beyond just enjoying yourself or learning, it involves retaining the knowledge which you have, right? I mean, it involves going over it and making it a part of you in a certain kind of a way. So the thing is, it could be is that since he's trying to show the significance of retaining the Torah and of passing it down for generations, so he had to be involved in a limud which reflected that quality of the Torah of Mitzvah Mesorah. You know what I mean? Of a Torah of, so far as retaining the knowledge of Torah, not just of just the intellectual exercise. You know what I mean? So he specifically did it in that way because that reflects the idea of that quality in Limud HaTorah. You know what I mean? Exactly. So basically the word says Amar Safra. This is for next time. We're just getting some facts. Amar Safra, Mishra Mishra Ben Chanina, Maidach Se Vishinantem Levanecha, Alti Vishinantem Vishilashtem. So Vishinantem, I think it means Vishanisem would have made, really should have said Vishanisem. And it means that you should learn. And learning it has a connotation of you're learning it and going over it. But Vishinantem is an extra nun. So it's saying Vishinantem is teaching you is like, it doesn't mean it's an addition to saying don't just do it twice like with the chazering it, but Vishilashtem. You should do the threefold. It's threefold learning. So what's threefold? Well, you don't go over it only three times. I mean, the quality of Chazara is reflected in Shanisem, and twice. Two times. Shilashtem, what kind of idea is Shilashtem? So it says it means, La'olam, Yishalish Adam Shinosav. You should split your years, or your years, into thirds. Shlish b'mikra, a third in Mikra. Shlish b'mishnah, a third in Mishnah. And Shlish b'tamad, and a third in Talmud. Okay? So Rashi says, El v'shilashtem edlog se v'shanisem. Doesn't say Vishanisem, which would mean that you should learn it with a chazer. You should triple it up. Okay. Skip, actually, the Rashi are out of order there. But Gemara, you see where it says Gemara? You see the Rashi there? It says, Svaros v'taime stimasehem shel Mishnayos. Svaros, and the reasons for why Mishnayos were, like, were stam. So the Mishnayos are stam. L'tartzem mashtosrusu. So you have, like, it means, like, to explain, like, you see what Gemara's do is, like, say the Mishnah, and you try to figure out what the Mishnah's talking about, and there's a contradiction in the Mishnah, and, like, working through the Mishnahs, you know what I mean? So Mishnah is just learning through the Mishnayos. But then Talmud is, like, a whole in-depth analysis in the Mishnayos, and how to work them through with the Svaras and the contradictions, and the, you know, like the Ian, you know? Like, Mishnah is like the facts of the Torah Shebaal Peh, it would seem. You know, since you have Torah Shebaal Chasav, then you have Torah Shebaal Peh, just the facts. I mean, they used to memorize all the Mishnayos. It was just, you had to get down the basic facts of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and then Talmud is a third in the real in-depth analysis of the thing, you know? So the Gemara asks, Mi yodea kamachaye? Do you know how long you're going to live? It sounds, and it's the way the Gemara interpreted at this point, it means you should split. Let's say you're going to live, 60 years. So you do 20 years in Megim Psakim, 20 years in Mishnah, 20 years in Gemara. So that would be very nice if you knew you can live 60 years, but maybe you're not going to live 60 years. You know? So how is it possible for a person to do such a thing? It's not possible. So the Gemara says, Lo tzrichol yome. It means for days. It means for days. So as Rashi says, Yomei, yomei ha-shvua. Means days of the week. Days of the week. What do you mean days of the week? I guess you do 2 days Mikra, 2 days Mishnah, 2 days Talmud, and Shabbos, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, I don't know how you do it. But it means days. It means you split up your week. It doesn't mean you split up your whole life, because who knows how long you're going to live. But you split up your week. You split up your week. So Tosus, look at Tosus. Lojigli yomei pirish bekuntris yimei ha-shabbos. Kolomar shneam Mikra, shneam Mishnah, shneam Gemara. Velona hira. It's not good. Maybe you'll die in the middle of the week. So then in that week, you're going to have more mikra than Mishnah or Gemara.
30.1%.
Right? So therefore, no, it means within every day itself, you split it up. The first few hours, mikra, the first hour. Right? So it's obvious, Kash on Tosos.
What if I
die
in the middle of the day?
Maybe you'll die in the middle of the day.
Not everyone dies at night.
Right? Funny, right? Very funny. Very funny. Funny what's bothering Tosas, first of all, Rashi altogether. But, because you would have said Rashi, oh, so you die in the middle of the week, big deal. So, I mean, so that week, I mean, you understand why the Gemara's thing doesn't make sense to do 20 years, because you'll die, you never, ever, ever in your life can ever get to Gemara. So, you obviously have to incorporate it. But if in one week, you have 1,000 weeks in your life, and in one week you happen to have a little bit off center, it's gonna kill you. So you'll say Tosa says no. It has to be 100% exact. But it has to be 100% exact, and Tosa isn't solving the problem anyways. So right? So it's funny, by the way, altogether, what this whole, I mean, of course you have to explain what's the whole idea here of these, you know. And what you see apparently also the Gemara Havamina that it really meant, let's say you knew that you were gonna live 60 years, then really everyone would agree, it seems, that you should do 20-20-20. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it seems like you should. It's only because practically you can't know that, therefore you can't do it. But it seems like there is an idea here of doing that, you know? And then, just to finish up those, he says, Akein tikim seder amram gon, kemosh anu nogim mechol yom, kodem psuke de zimra, lomar mikro mishno gemar. That's why you say, in Karbanos, you say psukim, and you say ezim akomo, and then you say rishmal, you know? So that's why you have all three. This way, even in every day, you have all three components, you know what I mean? Although it doesn't sound like the Gemara seems to be saying you're actually splitting your hours. It doesn't just mean you do, a little bit of each, but I guess he's saying, still, at least there's a minog. The minog is this way to reflect that idea, you know? Bavel, why do we call Talmud Bavli? Belula. It's mixed. The Mikro Mishnah Gemara. The Gemara is Bavel, Balam Makulam. Because the Gemara, and someone mentioned this, but like our Gemara, maybe Heshi mentioned this, that our Gemara, really, you learn Gemara, you have Psukim quoted in the Gemara, you have Mishnayos in the Gemara, you have Gemara in the Gemara, it's all in there. So therefore it says, that's how we, because Rabbeinu Tam's bothered, is, do you ever see anyone who does this? You know, anyone who has a Seder Yom like this, that they do the first 3 hours, you know, no one does this. So what he's saying is, it must be we rely on the, because we do Bavli, and Bavli really includes everything, because it's mixed up of everything, so therefore we all say it through that. Okay, so that's a further point in Tosfos. I mean, the first thing we have to take up, I mean, you know, we'll get to that. But, I mean, the first thing is the whole issue, what's going on here, right? Okay, I mean, this is nice, juicy, right?
It seems like
you're right. All right, so we're somewhere in time in that regard.